It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench and or if he gets hurt.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Touchdown, Detroit Lions!
You're listening to the best of the Lions.
Oh, baby, how beautiful is that?
A weekly mix of 97.1, the Ticket's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Two o'clock on a Monday. Great to be here with you. Gorgeous afternoon. And we've got to talk Lions. There will be no gaslighting. There will be no delusion. And there will be none of this let it play out garbage. The games get played. The results count. We're going to talk about them. So let's just say it this way. Every concern any Lion fan had, either publicly or privately, everyone, including all the ones you slandered Rico and I over the last 7-8 months, went bare ass yesterday. Straight up bare ass. Interior O-line is completely new. Kind of nervous. Bare ass. Losing both coordinators might be a problem. Bare ass. Hey, you know, that Micah Parsons guy is pretty good. Bare ass. We can go up and down the list. It all happened in one game, Rico. So, let me do the PSA now, and then you and I can be adults the rest of the day for the people in the back.
All right,
the season is not over, good people of Detroit, Michigan. No one is saying the season is over. But there are no dress rehearsals in this league. The results count. You got orbital rammed at Lambeau Field. You got bombed. That game was so over, the Packers threw a whopping 6 passes the entire second half. Why?
They didn't have to.
You couldn't beat them. You played with your food for 35 minutes. So here's how I want to do this. I want to know which of those bare-ass concerns you the most. Whether it's the coordinators, whether it's the O-line, whether it was Micah Parsons, lack of a pass rush. Oh, and let me do this just for the people. And then, Rico, you go wherever you want to go with this. I want to know what your biggest concern is for the pass rush people. What was that, Dan? Yeah, no, you're not good. The Lions had 2 tackles for loss, 2 QB hits, and no sacks. Juxtapose that with the Packers, you know, the team that actually did something in the offseason. 9 TFLs, 9 QB hits, 4 sacks. You're not. Did Davenport play? Did Hutch play? Factually, he didn't register a stat. And he got dummied by Jacob Tam, not Anthony Munoz, not Orlando Pace, but also not the third string tackle from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers or the backup tackles for Seattle, etc. I've listened to it for a year now. Oh, 7.5 sacks, 7.5 sacks, 7.5, 7.5, 7.5. You sounded like auctioneers.
Yeah.
And what did we say to you? Guys, those numbers weren't real.
Brother.
He wasn't going to have a 35 sack year and he wasn't going to face backup tackles all year. Well, guess what? Week 1, F minus. Let's see what he does week 2. Hope it's a lot better. Go ahead.
I saw one guy on the field that was rush edge that was worth $50 million yesterday, and it wasn't him.
Michael Parsons' bad person podcast penis.
He's a bad back, and he's
overrated.
Bad teammate.
Can't stop the run either.
He's only been in Green Bay for 8 days. He's not going to do anything.
I'm glad you mentioned that. Parsons played a whopping, 25 snaps? He had 4 explosions. One, he beat Sewell like a drum. Inside, forced Goff to throw it quick, incomplete punt. That's an explosive. He forced an interception by, beating Penei Sewell again.
Right.
He also a sack after dummying half your offensive line, and he blew up a run play for a four-yard loss by, wait for it, setting an edge?
Hold on. Let me give you play number five. He forced the Lions on a third down in the red zone to kick a field goal because he simply lined up over the center, and Jared Goff lost his mind and changed the play right there. It was like, nope, not going to happen today. You're not killing me.
So what is your biggest concern of all the red flags we brought up all offseason? Which is the one that concerns you the most moving forward?
Mike, is the same thing that I was trying to tell people at the pregame show yesterday. It's the interior of the offensive line. I'm sorry, you just don't plug and play.
Wait, you don't?
No, you don't. Oh. And it, you know, Glasgow is center, and two pretty much Mahogany and the draft pick like
Tate Ratledge.
I'm sorry, not enough experience going up against good teams, and what you're going to do, they're going to rush the middle, they're going to force Goff out of his comfort zone, and you're not going to be able to run the ball up the middle like you think you can. So everything that was Lions football, yeah, all went away. So you can't control the clock. I mean, they had, it was like they were trying to be them their old team, and they couldn't. They couldn't establish the run. Goff had to throw the ball way too many times. He didn't look comfortable. And Green Bay just kind of – this looked like how those inter-squad scrimmages looked when the Lions played the Dolphins. And everybody was like, oh, my God, they're dominating the Dolphins. The Packers dominated you yesterday. They didn't break a sweat.
Here's a power stat to back Rico up. Your running backs on 22 carries were hit behind the line of scrimmage 16 times. I already gave you the pressure statistics. And for anybody who calls up saying, well, we need to use more play action. If you can't run the ball, play action doesn't matter. This is the part I hate. I have to agree with Rico, so it doesn't. It's not a differing opinion, not an argument. I just can't offer a differing opinion that as much as I'm concerned about both coordinators, third down calls by Kelvin Shepard were awful. Why are we dropping Marcus Davenport in coverage? He's almost 300 pounds. John Morton. I don't have this final stat, but I can tell you pre-snap motion looked reduced by as much as 75%. As much as the pass rush bothers me, or lack thereof, Rico's right, is that the superpower of this team was the interior of this O-line. So awesome that you went into a season with like $40 million cap space and let Kevin Zeitler go to the Titans for no reason. And hey, let's throw $83 million at a guy with 83 career catches. Good. Glad you got all that done. Because the O-line looked like a dirty diaper. Glasgow was your worst O-lineman last year. Newsflash, new position, same awful. Mahogany got bodied. Ratledge got bodied. And guess what? The tape's out. Right. Teams are now going to use this against you. And there will be plenty of opponents not good enough to exploit it. But my God, that O-line, if your run game is not there, Goff goes from being the best QB in the league when not pressured to 28th when he is, Rico.
Okay, but Mike, tell me when you're going to get to those teams where you're not going to get pressured like that. Because even when you play Cleveland, heard they got somebody who's pretty good on their defensive line as well. So
did you see he almost had three straight sacks yesterday?
Yes.
First down sack, second down sack. He missed three straight sacks by like a millimeter on Burrow.
So it's one of those. You better hope that the Bears just aren't good, because other than that, you got to play a Browns defense and you're going to have an angry Ravens team
in
a few weeks.
And look, from the coordinator standpoint, John Morton, here's a fun note. I'll just throw it out there. Ben Johnson was your OC 55 games. Okay. How many times was a Ben Johnson-led offense held to 3 points or less in a first half?
Once.
John Morton's been your OC for one game. He's now tied. One. Obviously, I'm not writing the book. But if I had to hear from one more delusional bathwater drinker, it's Dan Campbell's offense. He knows it. Did that look like your offense last year? Yeah. Pre-snap motion. No. Play design. Verticality. Did any of it look the way it should look?
Well, let me say this, Mike. And then it was, we were promised, oh, just wait. We're going to play both running backs at the same time. Why? You're going to get them both killed? Because you can't block for one, let alone two.
Let's talk about it. Let's talk about all of it. And I'm not doing any of this eye roll crap. I'm not knocking you for overreacting. I'm not telling you the season's over. No, the season will be over if you lose next week. Because Baltimore on Monday night in 2 weeks, don't even fly the plane. Not if Baltimore's going to play the way. Last night, Baltimore and the Bills had the AFC title game. You're not at that level. Right. It would have to be a complete 180 for you to step on that field as anything other than a peanut vendor. Right.
Derrick Henry, still running. Fumbled, but still running for touchdowns.
I want to know which of these preseason, offseason worries now in real time worries you the most.
Let me add something to the menu.
Oh.
248-539-9797. Or if you don't see a problem and you're not worried at all, I would love to hear from you as well.
No, I wouldn't.
I want to hear from you as well, because if you don't have a problem, if you don't see a problem, if you think we're overreacting, by all means, I'll take your phone call. Mike will leave the
studio. Can I get a phone call from somebody who still thinks Micah Parsons is garbage? Can I do that?
Hold on. Let me dial up. Hey, you know, I saw your show last night. Oh, by the way, great show last night.
Thank you.
Yeah, Cookie.
We had fun doing it, buddy.
Micah Parsons, he's a bad teammate, and we got Sewell. So that's going to nullify Parsons.
Yeah. Sewell's going to burn that tape because Parsons isn't even physically fit yet.
It's a different topic for a different day, but oh, we got it. I just can't wait till we pay Hutch. Why? Why are we paying him $50
million? Well, I told you, he's got to earn his keep. I'm actually glad they didn't get a deal done. Go earn it. Go play. Be motivated. 0-for-1. You got 17 more cracks at it. But that was not a good performance by anybody. And by the way, no, we're not good. Four of your top five guys in pressures last year didn't line up yesterday. One of them being Pascal. Another being Onyeka. Another being Za'Darius Smith. Guys, your team thumbed their nose at the fan base all offseason. Outright vilified people like us for being concerned. You know, how about Brad Holmes with this remark, and then I'll let you go to business. Well, it's almost like the fan base is mad that we have Aiden Hutchinson. That comment combined with the we're good, we have Davenport, if it doesn't turn, that's going to be on their gravestone because they were insane remarks. Mm-hmm. Brad's interview on this station was insane. Is it like this in other markets? No, Brad, it's much worse.
Bruh. Especially when you see what allegedly the Eagles offer for Parsons.
I know.
And you're saying, we're good.
No. I'm not allowed to say I like Howie Roseman. I can't wait to get that unhinged phone call. Actually, this is quite analogous. Okay. Have a good day. All I know is they got the guy. They got the guy. And that guy, in limited snaps, destroyed you.
Yeah, and he'll be back on Thanksgiving.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
I want players who want to play. I don't want players who are oft injured. I want players who give a crap. And I really feel like, you know, since, Thibodeau got here and Leon Rose got here, and I guess you could say World Wide West, that they've tried to bring in players who kind of mirrored that kind of thinking.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I normally start the show saying good morning. We'll call it morning. 97.1, Jim morning. Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park, Gov and Greg behind the glass, and Dustin Fioco on the updates. You know where we're going to start, John.
Oh, where's that?
With the nightmare fuel that was Sunday in Green Bay. Because if you had any insecurities at all about this football team, if you talked about any of the storylines with us all summer long, you saw them all play out in a half of football. And then it just spiraled. So what I'm not going to do is define the Lions season by their week one performance, and I would encourage you to not do the same as well out there in listener land. This team's going to be defined by the way they're playing at the end of the season, not the start of the season. But John, for the first game, for the tone setter, it was everything we talked about. Where's the pressure? Period. Aiden or otherwise, there was none. And to hear we're good, we were not good. Micah Parsons, well, Green Bay makes the big, bold move. They're all in. He was the bigger difference maker than anybody in Detroit's front, forcing an interception, getting a sack, beating Penei Sewell across his face multiple times. And then there's the interior offensive line, which a source of great discomfort losing Frank Ragnow and Kevin Zeitler. What did we see? No run game, no explosiveness, no offense, no touchdowns until Tesla's one-handed catch in garbage time. Yeah, it's a great catch. The problem is it was game over. So it's all of the things we talked about in one neat, tight package for people to vent about today. What did you take out of it?
It just was to start the season, and we knew going into it, like, what have they done for the last couple of years? They start the season slow offensively. And you couldn't afford to do that in Green Bay. You just couldn't afford to do it. And it's first time the offense takes the field. You're thinking there's going to – no one thinks there's going to be trick plays to start the season. But you think that there's going to be a competent offense. And your first possession, three plays, minus 4 yards. It you just started off looking confused. A lack of communication, lack of creativity, a lack of anything. And then you follow it up with what you would think is better, right? A 16-play, 78-yard drive, 9.5 minutes. But if you're gonna hold the ball for that long, and you heard the sound from Goff, they're in the red zone four times, they come away with one score. Like, that's not good enough. And you come away with 3 points. That just – and then all of a sudden, two plays – later, you kick the field goal. Two plays later, Green Bay's already in the end zone. I mean, it's, I'm not sure if you're looking at the defense, the secondary, the pass rush, offense. It's a lack of creativity, lack of what we have become used to. And I honestly thought this. I'm like, wait a second here. I felt like it was 2022 all over again.
Ouch.
And everything that had been built up in 23 and 24 just seemed to evaporate. And I'm not saying that's the way it's going to be the rest of the year. This is just one game. But that's what it felt like. It felt like it was the start of the 2022 season where you're playing Seattle and it's just, what do you have on offense? And they at least scored some points in that game. But this one was just kind of, it was just nothing there.
Does it make a little more sense why the Packers are favored to win the division?
Well, it does. And we're all disappointed. But it does make a little bit more sense as to why they are. And I don't think Jordan Love is some world beater, but he just simply hit open receivers.
When he had all day to throw.
Well, he had all day to throw, but he hit open receivers. And it just felt like, how many times over the last couple of years did we feel like, well, how did Amon-Ra St. Brown get so open? You know, and LaPorta. And I know LaPorta had a number of catches, but
it's the only good drive of the game.
There just were no wide open receivers. And even when Jahmyr Gibbs had the ball, and when he would bounce to the outside, every time I kept thinking was, damn, he's fast. But there was nothing in the run game for them to get.
And that's what it will always come back to, because Green Bay played a lot of off coverage, zone coverage, take the top off, right? Take the top away. What's the answer? Well, you got a dink and dunk and 3 and 4 and 5. And
right.
Those are going to be long drives to nowhere, because unless you can get explosives in the run game, nothing's going to translate. When you get in the red zone and space has to be earned, John, when the offensive line has to earn that space for the offense, they couldn't. Graham Glasgow is like blocking ghosts at the second level. And Tate Ratledge blocking ghosts in their own end zone. Like, it was a terrible start for that offensive line. They ran for 40 some odd yards. John, that's the superpower of this team. And they looked like they are without their superpower. They looked like Space Jam when the Monstars took everybody's powers. That looked like a painfully mortal group up front. And it turned Jared Goff back into the guy that LA got rid of. Like, that's what the offensive line does, is it unlocks Goff. It unlocks explosives in the run game. And then they can take their shots down the field. All of it was reduced to nothing.
It was. And I mean, Goff, in terms of, if you just look at completion percentage, 31 of 39, you're thinking, oh, that's not bad.
Well, he took what they gave him.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing, is it was all dink and dunk down the field. And it's just, this offense And Goff, to his credit, he's not going to force something that's not there. Now, I know he threw a bad interception. That was a great play defensively as well. But you have to be able to get some chunk plays in this offense, in any offense in the NFL. You've got to be able to take some shots downfield. Hell, you just paid J-Mo $83 million. Like, where is that deep threat? Where's the breakout start of this breakout season? Instead of 5-yard outs or 7-yard ins and dumping it off to Montgomery or dumping it off to Gibbs. Like, that's...
Yeah, John, how many passes went to running backs, right? They had 31 catches. Montgomery and Gibbs had 14 of them.
Yeah.
I mean, half of the touches are just little dump offs to the backs.
And if you thought Jahmyr Gibbs was going to be this dual threat guy, he is, right? But 10 catches, you see that and you're like, oh, wow.
Did he have like 100 yards or something?
Yeah, I mean, this must have been big. No, 31 yards.
Oops. So we're going to start with the Lions, and they're going to be the focus of the entire show today. We'll have a brief pause for overreact, Jims. We'll work in the J-Mo deal. TJ Lang will be in studio at 9 o'clock, but we've got open lines. And we want to know what was the worst of that, because there's a lot to pick from. 248-539-9797. There is no shortage of things for you to get worked up about today. And we understand it's 1 week. You don't have to preface your call with that. I think we all know this team should get better. They better get better. But for one day, it was all of the things we worried about coming out to play. What was it for you? What was the worst part of many terrible things that happened?
For me, it was, and I don't think any, I don't know if anybody's actually going to talk about this. It wasn't like, I'll get to what I'm going to say in just a moment, but I think a lot of people are going to look at that interior of the offensive line and say, yeah, it needs to be better. It wasn't good enough. Graham at center. All of those things are true, but that wasn't the one thing that you thought you could count on was dominance by Penei Sewell. Mm. And that wasn't there. That's the one thing. And I'm not saying, okay, Penei Sewell he didn't have the game that you needed him to have in this game.
He didn't play like the best tackle in football.
Right. And I still think he's the best tackle in football. Just because you have a bad first game doesn't mean to me, and he may grade out just fine, but it's not the level that we expect from Penei Sewell. It's like Scooble that goes out there and he loses a game because he only went 7 innings and gave up a grand slam, like one bad pitch. Yeah. Like, that's the thing about being as good as Penei Sewell is, you expect that he's going to, that's a constant. You're going to go out there and get that performance from him week in, week out, especially in a moment like this, in a game like this, where you are working in two brand new guards. What have I said all offseason? I love the fact that they're going vet, rook, vet, rook, vet.
Yeah,
across the front.
What if the vet's the worst of the group, though?
Well, and Decker didn't have a good game either. So if your two edge guys are sitting there going, well, we need those guys to be vets. We need them to step up in this game, and they don't?
No, but I was talking specifically about the vet in the middle.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, it's supposed to be a stabilizer, putting him in the middle, but he looked like he was joining Frank Ragnow in an early retirement. Like, that was a bad game from Graham Glasgow.
Until I know, and I know TJ will have had some conversations and be able to share some context with us, like the third down coming out of their own end zone, where Montgomery is faced with the nose tackle right in his face as soon as he gets the ball, and you see it, the end zone view. Graham goes one way, the nose is standing right there, unblocked. At the goal, like coming out, like you, that is a situation where you are definitive. We block the first level first, no matter what. He goes one way, Mahogany goes another. So I don't know if it was Mahogany
whose fault
not listening to Graham, or if it was an MA by Graham. Somebody was wrong. Clearly.
Yeah, you never want to be running back staring at a nose tackle on the 1 yard line.
They didn't draw it up like, hey, you know what? Montgomery can beat this guy 1-on-1. We're not going to block the nose.
John, they always tell you running back's got to make somebody miss. Yeah, I just don't think you want to draw up, so you got to make
the point of attack.
The nose tackle miss.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench and or if he gets hurt.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so it's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket, Champ and Chump. Let's get him in. Look, it was a bad game. It is one game. And they look, the last time they looked this bad was the Baltimore game back in 2023. It's almost two calendar years ago that they played an uncompetitive game. And that team played for the NFC Championship.
This is true.
And so this doesn't doom them for an entire season. It's certainly concerning. There are worries. Does it mean they are doomed? Do we need to condemn everyone today? I'm not in that camp. I'm concerned. I'm worried. But I'm not going to condemn everyone today because I think they've earned the right to kind of pull their way out of this. You know, last year, do you remember last year how the offense looked at the beginning of the year? It didn't look great. It struggled a little bit the first couple of weeks. And there was some thought at the time that maybe not playing in the preseason
right.
was because they sat out even more people this year for longer, you know, and they played four preseason games. And that, you know, if this is a repetitive pattern, because the offense was brutal, it could be indicative of the losses in the middle of the offensive line and the coordinator could be concerning. But quite frankly, the offense didn't start last year great with the coordinator that they had. And then they got it going. So, you know, I'm open to the idea that that could happen. Don't love what we saw yesterday. Let's be clear about that. But I don't know. I'm there's still 16 games left to be played.
Yeah. In the end, I think I look at the offense and it looked like there were a bunch of missed assignments. And then afterwards you hear there were a bunch of missed assignments. Mm-hmm. And I think Jared Goff even said after the game that, you know, you got to do a better job of lining guys up and he'll take leadership with that this week. And I hope that's the quick fix. I hope that that's what it is. And of course, you're still going to have a learning curve with Ratledge and even with Mahogany on the left guard side as well. And a little bit with Glasgow at center, though he's already played there and he's been in the league for, you know, 10 years or whatever it is. I'm less worried about Glasgow than I am with getting the other two guys up to speed. But, you know, I think they heap praise on Ratledge for a reason. I think they really like him. But it's still a rookie out there, and he's going to make rookie mistakes. And there were plays that you saw last night where they're at the goal line, and, you know, he goes over to protect, help protect on the right side and leaving a guy wide open to come and plug up the that A gap and come shoot right in and almost get the safety. I guess Rashawn Gary almost got the safety on that play. It's when you see plays like that, it's frustrating. It's maddening for fans and, of course, for the players because they know right away if they made a mistake. They know right away. And I'm guessing that feeling came around way too often for those guys, that group on the offensive line, or even if it's receivers lined up wrong or running backs, whatever the case is. They could not get their offense going well enough to protect Jared Goff where he had 3 seconds in the pocket, step up and throw the ball where he wanted to. I don't know if it was a single pass that he made last night that felt like that for him. It was under duress the whole time, and it felt like the entire time that pocket collapsed, right? Or if it didn't collapse, it came closing in on him from the middle. Not necessarily from the tackles, but from the middle. And yeah, the tackles weren't great either. But it was just a bad game all around. And I hope that this is just a yuck throw it in the garbage game and not that they were outmatched in every single way imaginable.
248-539-9797. Paul's in Madison Heights and on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Paul.
Hey, good morning, guys. Long time no talk. Am I in bizarro world? Did we win the Super Bowl last year and I'm not aware of this? Like, that's how they came out. Like, they were, should have been on lawn chairs on the sidelines smoking cigars. Like, I, you know, getting a new offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator, don't you think it would probably have been a good idea to, like, see what you got with the starters, especially with four games? So now we have five preseason games, and now you're going into next week with a guy just salivating to make you look even worse. This could get really bad, guys. I don't know.
Paul, let me ask you, do you think he's salivating to make them look even worse than what they did, or do you think he's just hopeful to get his team off to a good start?
I think whatever Ben Johnson's going to do, it's about him and the Bears, not about anything with the Lions.
I get it, but I'm just saying there's no home loss there. I mean, this guy's going to come out like I expect, and this is really going to concern me if the Bears come out tonight and just bring all the smoke.
Well, let me ask you a question, because if you think, again, Paul, I got to ask you a question here. You think that Ben Johnson's going to want to send a message and that's going to make a difference. Do you think Dan Campbell's going to want to send a message?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that this guy should have came out firing on all cylinders, not looking like a four banger against a B-12. I mean, they looked like a semi-pro team, and nobody knew what they were doing. It was mass confusion. I mean, you don't start off that way coming off a 15-3 season. I mean, you haven't done anything yet, truthfully, because the only thing that matters is the Super Bowl in this city anyway. And this is just like, okay, are we going through this again? You need 10 yards, go for 5. You know, confusion on the line, penalties to set you back, holding call to get rid of a touchdown that could have got you back in it. I'm not doing it again. I'm not going backwards again.
All right, thank you, all Paul. Right. 248-539-8797. Well, so we all rest assured, all Paul's right. Not going backwards.
We thought you had in the wagon, Paul. Sorry.
Look, you know, nothing that he said there is particularly inaccurate. It was a brutal performance.
Terrible.
But there's lots of season to be played. Now, I'll give you an example, okay? I have concerns about the interior of the offensive line. It was my number one concern going into this season. Those concerns were not alleviated yesterday.
No.
But you know who they still have? They still have Hank Fraley. And Hank Fraley is widely considered one of the best O-line coaches in the NFL. He has seen what there was to see. There was clearly confusion. No better example than that play at the goal line where it's like, hello, come on through. And I like our O-line coach. And I still like the talent there, the young talent in particular. So let's see what Hank Fraley does with that group. There are other things that I'm not sure are in great hands. I think the offensive line is in great hands.
Yeah, I agree with you with the coaching aspect of it. And I'm hoping that, you know, the issues of the offensive line are not about talent. They're not about technique. It's about the mental side of the game and knowing what the playbook is and knowing what the defense is across from you and knowing what your assignment is supposed to be. I really hope that's the thing. Because if it's the other things, then it's going to be a longer transition than we had expected. But I do think that the guys are talented, so I don't think that's it. Is it technique? This is where Hank Fraley is really going to shine. It's with his technique and teaching the guys how to do it. But the guys have to bury their heads in the playbooks and understand what the plays are supposed to be
and
what the defense. Yeah, and film as well. And here's the defense that's across from us. Understand what our assignment's supposed to be. And you know it does take time. And nobody wants to hear that. But that was what was so great about this line for the last few years, is it was relatively unchanged. You know, the line was what you had. And then had some changes last year, but they were able to bring a veteran guard in as one of those changes, and the other veteran guard you had slid to the other side. So they had all this experience on the offensive line. This year, you've got two guys that are effective rookies starting in the interior.
Shane is next on 97.1 The Ticket. Hi, Shane.
Hey, how's it going, guys? I just wanted to remind all the Lions faithful that we have started 1-1 the last three seasons. I mean, it was a horrible performance, probably one of the worst I've seen in the Dan Campbell era, but we got to get, you know, we got to get these guys together, and I think we're going to be all right. And, you know, we were 1-1 the last 3 years, so I think everything's going to be all right, so don't freak out yet, but everybody seems to be freaking out.
Well, look, I mean, we'll give you your time here, Shane. I'll just say this. If you thought Dan Campbell was a good head coach, okay, and if you thought Brad Holmes was a good GM, one game at the beginning of a season doesn't completely flip that upside down. It doesn't completely invert. Now Dan Campbell sucks and Brad Holmes sucks. But
exactly.
It's going to be interesting to see how they respond, because that was a check minus. And it's a check minus on Campbell. It's a check minus on the coordinators. It's a check minus on the new O-line. It's a check minus on perhaps the pass rush and not adding more. But it is one game, and I'm more than willing to You know, you don't plan parade routes after one game, so you don't give up on the season. The previous caller's given up on the season, but I think that's ridiculous. I'm not.
Me neither. Yeah, that's why I just want to call and, you know, say it's not over yet. I mean, it's only one game, you know.
Appreciate the phone call, Shane.
It's Boomer and Geo. Mornings on the Fan, 101.9 FM.
They're looking for a point guard who's logged a lot of games in the NBA, who is going to run an offense that they trust when Jalen Brunson's on the bench and or if he gets hurt.
Listen to Boomer and Geo on demand on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.